Ever since Genesis chapter 3, there's been a curse on this earth. And Romans chapter 8 says, even nature is groaning in travail, waiting for the curse to be removed. And bless the Lord, he says right here, that the curse will finally be removed. So that in Ezekiel 47, there was a curse still left in the lower end of the Dead Sea, but there won't be any curse on the earth anywhere anymore. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be there, and his servants will serve him, and they shall see his face. That's us. We'll see his face. Bless God. And his name shall be written on our foreheads. Do you remember in Exodus 28? Verse 36, the high priest had the name stamped on his head, Holiness to Jehovah. Holiness to Jehovah. Just like the high priest, we're going to have his name written right on our forehead. Praise the Lord. That's a real promotion. How many of you realize? How many of you understand what God's saying? Amen. He says, your church may not say much about you. Your mama may not say much about you. Your daddy may not think much of you. Your husband may not think much of you. But I'm saying you're going to be as valuable to me as the high priest forever and ever and ever. Right on the head. And now comes one of the most incredible verses in the whole Bible. There shall be no night there. They will not need a candle, neither light of the sun, because the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Beloved, God, people are always saying, why did God create man? Don't we ever read the Bible? Beloved, God created man, one of the purposes, I'm not trying to say this is the only purpose or anything, but one of the major reasons that God created man was to rule. Genesis, at the very beginning of this book, what was man doing? What did God do? He said, rule. Have dominion and rule planet earth. Here in the last chapter of the Bible, what does God say about us? You will reign and rule forever. That means we're going to have someone to rule over. All right? God doesn't say who. There's a sneaky hint in 1 Corinthians 6 that maybe it's angels. Maybe God's going to populate other places in the galaxy. He does teach in parable after parable that we will, those that have been faithful, that were faithful in five and made five, they rule 10. And on and on and on. What I do know is, I don't take God's word lightly. It says we're going to rule. Adam started out ruling. This says we're going to rule. I believe it. We're going to rule. And I believe that I'm being trained for that job. Beloved, I believe that one of the reasons why we go through trials today is God is trying to teach one great thing as he builds character in us to depend on him, to depend on him. Because if we're going to rule, that's one thing we better keep in mind, that the only way we can ever rule, my family, how can I be the real leader of my family if I myself do not know how to take instructions from Father? Until I learn to be submissive myself, how can I expect people to be submissive under me? And so God has given us on-the-job training to rule. How do I rule? I'd better do it by depending on God, because if I try to depend on Floyd, my family is going to rebel. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants these things that shall shortly come to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of this prophecy of this book. He says three times he comes quickly in verse 12 and 20. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of this prophecy. In chapter 1 he said there was a blessing if you would read this and keep it. How do you keep it? How do you keep the sayings of this prophecy? By expecting him to come anytime and living like the Lord could call you anytime. Now, beloved, that finishes the revelation. Hear me. Verse 7 finishes the revelation. When we started this book, chapter 1, I told you, was a cover letter that God told him to write a letter to seven churches. And that he did, and he sent them a little cover letter at the beginning. And now we get the salutation at the end of the cover letter. That's what we finished the revelation. Now comes the finish of chapter 1. He's finishing the cover letter. And I, John, saw these things. Praise God. He says again, I saw these things. Fellas, you're hearing this from an eyewitness. And I heard them, And when I heard it and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he said unto me, see that you don't do that. I am your fellow servant, and of your brothers the prophets, and of those that keep the sayings of this book, which say, worship God. Beloved, John got so confused here, he's so awed by this revelation of Jesus that he falls down to worship an angel, and the angel says, don't you worship me. I don't know who you're worshiping in your church. I don't know who your church teaches you to worship. But the revelation of Jesus says, worship God. Beloved, in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Satan tried to get Jesus to worship him, and Jesus quoted the Old Testament, and he said, there, worship God, and him only shall you serve. And if you go back and look up the Old Testament quote that Jesus was quoting, it was the word Yahweh, Jehovah. Jesus himself said, worship Jehovah only. Now, that is exactly what Jesus quoted. And if you read the rest of the Bible, time and time again, Jesus then accepted worship after he said, worship Jehovah only. Therefore, who is Jesus? He is Jehovah God come in the flesh. Jehovah God stayed in heaven as a Father and ruled the universe. Jehovah God stayed everywhere in the universe as the Holy Spirit. And Jehovah died on a cross for our sins. And Jehovah rose from the dead. There is only one God, and that one God manifests himself in three different manifestations. But there are not three gods. That is heresy. Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, come in the flesh as a man. And he stayed God at the same time. And so he says, don't worship anyone but God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. Hey, this means ever since this was written, God could have snatched a church out at any time. There are no prophecies unfulfilled that have to be fulfilled before Jesus raptures us. There are many unfulfilled prophecies, but they're not hindering the rapture of the church. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, God is saying this, the good are going to get better and the bad are going to get worser. Okay, how's that for good English? Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 teaches the same thing. So does 2 Timothy 3:13. And he says it again, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his works. Yes, you will be judged according to, you will be rewarded according to your works, but you won't be saved according to your works. You're saved free, grace, but your eternal rewards beyond your salvation are based on the works that you did in the Spirit, the works that you did in agape love. If you did them for any other reason, you will not get a reward. It'll burn up. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, who is the revelation about? Who's the hero of this whole thing? It's not of earthquakes. It's not about pie in the sky. It's not about the Antichrist. It's not about 666. It's not a book about hail from heaven and fire from heaven and two prophets. It's a book about Jesus, the whole book. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you, and the word angel is simply means messenger. I have sent my messenger, my angel, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. The root and the offspring of David. Wait a minute, Jesus. How can that be? You can't. Oh, did you hear what he said? That's an incredible statement. He says, I'm the root. All right, I'm the root and the offspring. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. That's weird. Here's David. Now, if you're the root, that means David came out of you. But if you're the offspring, it means you came out of David. How can you do that, Jesus? We know, don't we? Before David was, Jesus was, right? Jesus was before David, but he also came through David. How? It wasn't through Joseph, because Joseph wasn't his daddy. Therefore, how could he come from David? Mary. Mary, her egg. Mary had to be of the tribe of Judah, of the family of David, or else Jesus is not the offspring of David. It's Mary that's really kin to David, Joseph and Mary. So Jesus is the king of Judah after the flesh. He got the blood right from Mary and the royal right from Joseph. Had the Jews not been under Roman bondage, Jesus would have sat on David's throne in Jerusalem. And that, and every Jew knew it. They kept calling him over and over and over again, the Son of David. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy and heal me. They knew he was a Son of David. Unfortunately, many of them didn't accept him as the Son of David. And that is how Jesus got to go into those synagogues and preach. Though he was only a carpenter, he had status. He was the heir to the throne, and they all knew it. Unfortunately, they didn't realize he was the real heir to the throne. Hallelujah. Verse 17, it says he's a bright and morning star. Hallelujah. That's the prophecy that Balaam gave, that there would come a star out of Jacob. He says, I'm that star. I'm the star. And let me tell you, the star of Bethlehem was a miracle, y'all. Please don't read all these reports that there was a conjunction of the planets at that time and all. That's not what it was. It said the thing stood there over the manger. It was a miracle. We're trying to, you know, we try and explain away the miracles. That's what we're doing. And so many of us that go to church all the time, and our little quarterlies come out and tell us it was just a natural thing. It was not. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Hey, are we? We're the bride. Are we telling people to come? The Spirit is. Now, hey, that's good news. The Spirit's going to tell them whether you do or not, or whether I do or not. But God's going to give us a reward if we'll just open our big mouth and say, come. Hallelujah. Gosh, that's not too hard to do. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's probably one of the greatest words in the Bible, the word come. And let him that hears say, come. And let anyone that is thirsty come. Are you thirsty? Come, he says. And whosoever will. Hey, that got you. You say, oh, Floyd, I've sinned. You just don't know how bad I've sinned. God says, I don't care. Whosoever. That got you and it got me. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life. And again, God says, it's free. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy in this book. If you add unto the things in this book, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if you take away from the words of this book and this prophecy, God will take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Beloved, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, and Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7, all say don't add and don't subtract from the word of God. Now, hear me carefully. There are many men that love the Lord that are well-intending and simply don't understand all Scripture. No one understands all Scripture. And because they teach something different from you and me, but they are really our brothers, they've really been born again, don't think that means they're going to be X'd out because they may teach security when you don't believe in security, or they may not teach security and you believe in security. Believe me, God isn't going to question you about security at your judgment. We're going to argue about it, but God isn't. He already knows the answer to that. That's not what this is talking about. For those of us that do know about the fullness of the Spirit, and those that don't know about the fullness of the Spirit, that's not what God's talking about. He is talking about deliberately perverting the truth of the person Jesus Christ by altering the Scriptures and the mission of Jesus Christ. He's the hero of the book. He's the what this book is all about. And that's what this is talking about. So don't think that these brothers, you know, that are really brothers. Now, I'm not talking about people that are deliberately making a lie out of this book. Those are the ones God's talking about. But I'm talking about people like Apollos that taught the wrong message, but their heart was right with God. Okay? Verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Beloved, final shot for tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says that there is a special crown given to any Christian that just loves the teaching that Christ is coming again for us. Hey, there's only 5 crowns mentioned in the Bible. And 1/20 of all the crowns mentioned in the Bible is one of the easiest ones you can ever have. He says, if you just love in your heart the teaching and believe that I'm really coming, I'll give you a special crown just for that. Hey, do you see how bad God wants to reward us? You can't ask for much easier than that. Praise the Lord. Beloved, we've had a long journey through Revelation. There's many scriptures related to it. I've not tried to exhaust it. We could spend from now till Jesus comes for us in the book of Revelation, because the whole Bible is tied up here. This is how the whole thing ends. Now, since you know how it ends, and since I know how it ends, let's relax. Quit getting uptight about your job, the fact that there's not much money in the bank balance, the fact that you may not be feeling so great, the fact that your insurance lapsed and you just wrecked the car. Hey, you can't take it with you. I mean it, y'all. You have been redeemed, and He's coming for us. Praise the Lord. Let's get things in the proper perspective. And you can live with these problems. Now, I have the same problems you do, and I've learned that this is the only way to keep going. Is just say, so what? I've been redeemed and He's coming. You know, just big running jump. And if you don't, now you got your choice. You can do it that way or be miserable. Yeah, it's easy. Let it become part of your life. There's a special blessing in it. Right now, then, we want to turn this over to another phase. Because you've come in here with many needs, and I know it. Some of you may need to know how to become Jesus Christ's property. I don't want to ever leave here without you having the opportunity to know that God says this to you: I love you, and I've made a way for you to escape all this garbage that's coming. It has never been my intention, God says, that you should go to hell. It has never been God's intention that anyone should be punished. God's intention is that we will all be saved, and God came and died for us and took His own penalty Himself. Most of you in this room know that, and yet you're still miserable, many of you. Now, I'm just going to tell every one of you why that is. Hear me. One word: unbelief. Unbelief. You believe God will heal me. You believe He'll meet my financial needs. You believe God will take care of my marital problems. You believe God will take care of my children. Oh, you can have great faith for good old Brother Floyd. You just believe, yes, Floyd, we believe God will do this for you. But the sin in your life is you don't believe He'll do it for you, because you don't think you're worthy enough. Of course you're not. Neither am I. That's beside the point, isn't it? Beloved, I issue this to you. Those of you that still are feeling the beaten downness of the Christian walk, if you really want to follow Jesus, then do it. And quit telling people, I'm trying to follow Jesus. At the end of life, you will have done what you wanted to do. And I mean it. Those of us that really want God to work in our hearts and in our lives, we're going to let Him do it. If you really want to follow Jesus, do it and quit talking about it. Those of you that are enjoying feeling sorry for yourself and belong to the poor little old me club, you're really getting what you want. Because you're wrapped up in yourself, and your whole universe is carried around yourself, and you've got yourself on the throne of your life, and you're focusing your full attention on poor little you instead of Jesus. And when you just give up, and I'm not putting you under condemnation, not trying to fuss at you, I love you enough to try and tell you how to get off of that garbage trip you're on. See, because I used to be on it, and I found out how to get off of it, and it's more fun off. And I can see the hurt in some of your eyes. Believe me, I can walk right up to many of you in this room right now and touch you and tell you that you're the ones I'm talking to right now. I can see it. You're carrying your load when Jesus said, I've got a light burden and I'll carry your load. And if any of you feel too burdened down, it's because you're carrying Jesus' share of the load. And this isn't theory. This works. I've got just as much load and problem as any of you. And there's a lot of spring still left in my step, because I'm not carrying the load. I've decided to really follow the Lord. And I still have to get picked off of my face because I still fumble it. But I don't wallow in self-pity and I don't sit there on guilt trips. I repent and let him stand me on my feet. And he says, son, you blew it, but come on, we'll go again. Having quit feeling like you've got the right to harbor all those ill feelings, God will wash the garbage away from you. You say, but Floyd, you don't know what it was like growing up in the orphanage and the way mom and dad didn't love me. It was the same thing with me. And if you want to sit there and feel bad about it the rest of your life, you'll be miserable. But if you say, hey, you're a new creature and new creatures have no past, and if you'll quit living in the past and wallowing in that self-pity of the past, and say, I'm going to live beginning tonight for the future, you'll enjoy the Christian walk. You'll still have problems, but you'll enjoy it. The last 4 or 5 weeks have been the worst 5 weeks I have ever encountered in my life. In everything. But the devil made a mistake. He overplayed his hand. See, it was so obvious it got funny. I mean, when he overplays his hand, you can spot him. Instead of being frustrated, it's hilarious. You mean this is the best you can do? You know? See, if he'd have just stopped a few weeks back, I would have been upset. You know what I mean? But he overplayed his hand, and I could see him. So let me encourage you that that's what's happening to you too. Now, beloved, it doesn't matter who prays with you. Same God. You know, hey, you're not coming to these men. See, this is the advantage of not having you come down to me. The thing about coming to me is you guys start focusing too much on me, and I want your affections off of me and on to Jesus. I know you love me. I love you. But the real problem comes when we start elevating a man beyond what he is. I'm only a man. And if I start going through this thing every time and praying with you every time, pretty soon, the word's going to get around that Brother Floyd's got the big hands. Just come to him, he'll pray, and you'll get healed. Well, I've seen that happen a lot of times, but I'll tell you what, it's just as precious when it happens down here, and because God says he will bear testimony to his word. Now, I've given his word, so it's up to him to bear witness. And that makes it real relaxing for me. Let's just dismiss then with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. More than that, we thank you that Jesus is here. And that this whole book that we've been studying is just about, it's about Jesus and your great love for us as expressed through him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you meet the needs of everyone that's here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.